If you were invited to attend a school of witchcraft and wizardry, so you would ask your rabbi if you're permitted to attend or not, what would he answer you? So very much this depends on the subject that you would be studying. Some of the subjects would be mutter, and other subjects would be asur. And I want to approach some of the different subjects in the school of witchcraft and wizardry one by one and discuss the heter and the iser of studying these subjects. So the first subject I want to approach is divination and fortune telling, telling the future. And this is discussed by the Gemara and Sanhedrin and Daf Samach Vav. And there's a number of important machlokos with regard to fortune telling. The most fundamental machlokos is one that applies to magic in general, and that's a machlokos between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam writes that magic doesn't work. It doesn't exist. And the Torah forbade magic. It said, don't be a magician, don't be a wizard, don't be a witch, don't be a fortune teller. Not because there's any mamashos to the practice of these arts, but rather because the Torah doesn't want people to believe in foolishness, and the Torah doesn't want people to act in a way which is foolish. In other words, in a way which is predicated upon belief in foolishness. And therefore, the Torah said that anybody who practices these arts, particularly, let's say, fortune-telling, so it's forbidden, and anybody who acts based on the prediction of a fortune-teller is being over an iser, because the prediction itself is foolishness and nonsense, and the action based upon that prediction is an action of stupidity and foolishness, and therefore it is asur. This is the shita of the Rambam. Now there's an ironic consequence of this shita, and that is that anything which works, anything which is based on something other than foolishness, if it's based on psychology or based on statistics, would be mutter. So this is a way in which some people want to explain that we find a number of stories in Tanakh which seem to rely on fortune-telling. We know that Eliezer Eved Avraham, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here I am at a well. If a girl comes and I ask her this and she answers me that, then I'll know that she's a bride for Yitzchak. And if this doesn't happen, so then she won't be Yitzchak's bride. So this seems to be, on the surface, the Gemara even seems to call it fortune-telling. It's nichush, it's a nachash, menachish, which is one of the types of magicians and fortune tellers. So how could Eliezer Eved Avraham have done this fortune telling? So some people say, well, you know, Eliezer Eved Avraham was a Ben Noach, and Bnei Noach are not mitzovim in Kishuf. So therefore he was permitted to do fortune telling, even though something parallel would be usur for a Jew. So that means, let's say a person is dating and he's going out with the girl and he doesn't know whether he's supposed to marry her or not. So he says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to make a sign. If the following thing happens, if the next time we go on a date, you know, so, you know, she comes out of the door earlier, so then A, and if not, then B. So that would be an iser of menachish, would be an iser of fortune telling, of making a decision based on some sort of a random variable. And according to the Rambam, it would be aser. But so some people say, yeah, Eliezer Eved Avraham was a Ben Noach, he wasn't mitzoveh on the iser of fortune telling. However, other people explain that no, that Eliezer Eved Avraham was really mitzvah. He was not supposed to be a fortune teller. One of the servants of the Avraham Avinu, who's a great tzaddik, he wouldn't have been over on the iser of fortune telling. Rather, what he did was based on psychology. He knew that he needed a balas midos for Yitzchak. So he said, if I ask her to draw water and she draws water for my camels, then I'll know that she's a big enough balas midos to merit marrying Yitzchak. Otherwise, then, you know, if the girl doesn't offer to draw water for my camels, then she's not a big enough balas midos. But he wasn't relying on the fortune-telling, on the randomness, right, of A or B, and just being told his decision on a random possibility, but he was doing it with psychological insight. And the same thing by Yonasan, the son of Shaul. Yonasan was going to attack the camp of the Pelishtim, and he said, I'm going to make it dependent on the following. If, you know, I'm going to approach the Pelishtim in disguise, and I'm going to say, can I come in? And if they say, come here and we'll inspect you, so then we'll attack. And if they say, wait there, we'll come out and inspect you, then we won't attack. So on the surface, the Gemara in Chulin seems to call that nichosh, it's fortune-telling, it's being making your course of action depend on some random variable. Will they come out to me? Will they call me to come to them? But the Kesef Mishnah explains that that's not what was going on. Yonason was operating with insight. He knew that if they made him come to them, so they were afraid of an ambush. And it's very easy to defeat an army when they're afraid. But if they said, wait where you are, we'll come out and inspect you, that would show that they're fearless. So they would be hard to defeat, and then it would not be an auspicious time to attack. So basically what emerges is that according to the to this shita of the Rambam, anything which really works, which is based on some psychological insight, is okay. Now the Ran raises a problem. He says the Gemara seems to say in Psachim that it is permitted, or at least there's no isser of fortune telling when it comes to consulting stargazers and astrologers. So how would we explain this? If the isser of fortune telling is to be foolish, then and fortune telling basically as a science doesn't exist. The only thing that works is psychology. So then how can you go and ask somebody to consult the stars and tell you about your future? So one answer, the answer that the Ran gives, is that consulting the stars is actually not a foolishness. There's a chachma to astrology, and that it's, you know, to know a person's, you know, what a person's future is going to be by consulting the stars, that's a certified science, says Iran, and therefore there's no isser in consulting them because Itaka works. They are able to know things based on consulting the stars. However, the Ran reports from the Rambam that it's forbidden to consult, you know, stargazers, essentially. And although for the Rambam, in general, the Rambam holds that stargazing is not a science, it's also foolishness, and therefore consulting a stargazer or stargazing or acting based on a stargazer's prediction is a foolish action. So that would explain why it's usher to consult a stargazer. But the way that the Ran reports the Rambam's Shita requires a bit of a different explanation. And even if this is not what the Rambam himself believes, there definitely should be some Rishonim who believe in this Pshat in Kishuf, namely that the Yisod of fortune-telling and divination is not simply belief in foolishness and action based on foolishness, but it's actually something more than that. It's the idea of a lack of bitachon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person certain situations in this world, and he's supposed to be content. He's not supposed to be desirous of knowing the future, of eliminating that uncertainty. If a person is uncertain about the future, that indicates a lack of bitachon. It indicates that he feels that he's in some way in control of events and that he can elude HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for him. If a person has bitachon, he's content, he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him what he needs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him what he deserves, and it doesn't make a difference what the future holds. If the future holds good for him, so then good, you know, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy. If the future holds bad for him, it means that part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is that he should go through some tzaros. But one way or another, a person has to have confidence that whatever is happening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it because that's the best thing for him. So what happens in the future makes no difference. Maybe there's even an inyan of bitachon to have optimism about the future, and that to display some sort of a pessimism, a worry that something bad is going to happen, may also be a lack of bitachon. There's different shitos about what bitachon is. Does it mean simply trust that everything that happens to you is because that's part of Hashem's plan and that's what's best for you, or does it even mean some sort of a trust that everything is going to end up all right? But one way or another, consulting about the future, displaying worry and anxiety over the future, is certainly an isser or a lack of bitachon. It's a lack of tamimus, a lack of relying solely on Hashem. And that could be not that divination is usur because it's foolish, but rather divination maybe is usur because it displays a lack of reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a couple of other important discussions about divination. I want to mention one or two very quickly. There's a discussion as follows. What happens if a fortune teller, not a good fortune teller, not like a stargazer for the Ram, but a Narishkeit fortune teller, what if he tells you that if you invest money this coming Thursday, and you were planning to invest that money on Thursday, what if he tells you if you invest it, you're going to lose it all? Are you permitted to withhold, to not invest it? So this is a machlokes that the Ram brings down between Ramban and the Ramban's Talmud, Rabbeinu David. The Ramban holds that a person is allowed to not invest the money. And Rabbeinu David holds that no, if a person was planning to invest the money and he has no reason to not invest it other than the prediction of this fortune teller, he has to go ahead and invest it. And if he withholds from investing it, he's over on the Isser of Lo Senach Hashu. So what's going on? I think that the Yisod HaIsser here is whether the Yisod HaMachlokes is whether the prohibition against fortune telling is a prohibition that's aimed at beliefs. You shouldn't believe in foolish things, and therefore, even if you simply don't invest the money, which is totally passive, right? But that was a decision that was informed by a foolish belief. And therefore, it is asr. Similar to what we said earlier, that Avodah Zarah is yeshno belief, that the isr is on a person, what a person is thinking, rather than what a person is actually doing. So over here also, the isr is to believe in something foolish. And therefore, even if he's totally passive, based on a foolish belief, he's over the isr. As opposed to the shita of Rabbeinu, of the Ramban, who says that you're allowed to be passive. Because he holds that the Isser is to act in a foolish way. What goes on in your mind, let it go on in your mind. Perhaps it's not a good thing to believe in foolish things, but it's not necessarily an Isser. But to act in a foolish way, meaning based on a foolish belief, that would be an Isser. That's going back again to the Shita of the Rambam, that the whole Isser of Kishuf and of fortune telling is based on the fact that it's foolishness, so it's Asr to believe foolish things, or at least to act in a foolish way. Okay, more to come.